Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for being here. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God that he is the head of my life and that he is my Lord and Savior. I praise God for all that he is doing in the earth. And so God has just been speaking to us, is going to speak to us about hold on to your faith. Amen. Before I go to the Lord to deliver this message, I just would like for you to just extend your hand of prayer towards me so I can receive some of that anointing. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to minister the word of faith, Father, to the people of God. I ask, Lord Jesus, that even as I decrease, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would increase, Lord God. Father, I pray that everything, God, that you allowed my eyes to see and my heart to receive, Lord, that you, Father, will begin to bring it forth this morning, Lord God, that the people of God may arise as the church, Lord God, and go forth in your name. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Last time I was before you, I think I was talking about rejoice in the Lord, you know, and so we're going to continue on that same path because it's been a little while before I've been before you, but God has just had me in Acts and looking at the Acts of the Apostles, and so I want to continue in that vein. We're going to be coming out of 2 Thessalonians today. And the passage of scripture we're going to look at is 2 Thessalonians 1 through 12. We're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians 1 through 12. How many of you know the just shall live by faith? And this is a faith walk, amen? That we can't give up and we can't give in to the enemy. And so today our message is hold on to your faith. In other words, keep on trusting God no matter what the situation may look like. And so we're going to read from the word of God so that we can get the word in our spirit. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, Silvanus is also Silas, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting because of your faith that grows, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith. Say patience and faith. That's what it takes. Your patience is what's going to grow your faith. Amen. In your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of righteous judgment of God, and that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Praise the Lord. God has counted us worthy. When we suffer for Christ, God counts us worthy of the kingdom of God. And that is if we don't fail or faint in the process of the trial or the tribulation. Amen. Paul, he is exhorting and giving thanksgiving for the church of Thessalonians. He's already written one letter encouraging the church, letting them know that, hey, I'm so proud of you that you are faithful. I'm so proud of you that you continue to show love one to another, even though you've gone through great persecution. When we go to Acts 17, we see what persecution they're talking about. Paul and Silas, as they are answering the Macedonian call, they are approached or reproached by the Jewish people. And so what they do, they continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't let that mob and people who doubt God keep them from doing what God has called them to do in these last and evil days. How many of you know that there are people who will doubt God and cause you to stop doing what God wants you to do in these last and evil days? Hallelujah. But Paul, It says in Acts that he preached 3 days. I'm going to get to this. He preached 3 days the kingdom of God, convincing people that Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And even as they preached, people rose up against him and ran him out of town. They went to a person's house named Jason and they disrupted Jason's household, looking for the ones who are preaching and teaching the word of God. How many of you know the devil goes to your household, your friend's household, people you know household, and try to disrupt what God is doing? And so they're preaching and they're teaching. I'm in Acts 17, just to bring you up to date, the persecutions that they were going through. We can go there if you want to. I'm not going to read from there, but you can follow along with the story, because I know the story. But they were preaching in Thessalonica. And they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they didn't like it. They ran them out of town. But they went on to Berea. And the Bereans were the type of people that knew the word of God. Amen. And everything Paul was saying, they were checking it, you know. It would be a check in your spirit. You know, when you know the word of God, guess what? When something is offbeat, guess what? You get a check in your spirit, right? Well, the Bereans, they were following along with the word of God, and many people were getting saved. And guess what? The same mob that was in Thessalonica came to Berea to chase Paul out of Berea. The devil works relentlessly to chase you away from the things of God. So you got to hold on to your faith. Paul said that. What? They held on to their faith. Their faith was growing. It didn't keep them from growing in their faith. Just because things are going on around them, it didn't keep them from growing in their faith. They held on to their faith. And so he was giving them compliments. And from there, Paul and Silas, we see that they went on and they went to the place where the intellectuals were. They went to Athens. And they continued to preach the unknown Jesus. Amen. The unknown God. They kept preaching about the unknown God. The one who saves. The one who heals. The one who created the heavens. The one who is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. They were preaching the word. Are you preaching the word? Are you telling somebody about Jesus, the one who died for you? The one who creates the heavens and the earth. That's what we need to be doing, people of God. Hallelujah. It's the non-believers that don't want this word to go forth. And so Paul and Silas, when they are confronted by the Athenians, he begins to give a whole discourse about the unknown God. Sometimes we are confronted, right? We're confronted on our jobs. Sometimes we're confronted in the streets when we're trying to share something about Jesus Christ. But that didn't stop them. We must have a defense, an answer for everyone who challenges the hope that is within you. We must have a word for them. Be ready. Be ready. You see, Thessalonians is about Paul and Silas going in to correct some confusion that had been going around amongst the people. The people had gotten confused about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read 1 Thessalonians, you see where Paul begins to tell them that, you know, the dead in Christ, they're going to rise. But this is not going to be a surprise for you. The things of God, when Jesus comes back, the second coming of Christ, it should not be a surprise for us. We learn about it in the 24th and 25th chapter of Matthew's. We learn about it in Mark, amen? And what should we be finding ourselves doing? We should be about our Father's business. A faithful servant, using every gift and every talent that God has given us for the kingdom of God. Standing in faith and not in fear. Amen. When the Son of Man returns, the question is this: will he find faith on the earth? According to Luke 18:8, will Jesus find faith on the earth? Well, let me tell you something. We may be strong in our faith today, but the word of God tells us in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And our faith will begin to wane. And the righteous will scarcely make it in. That ought to tell you something about the conditions of the world and how it's going to affect you. But I stand to declare that you got to hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Don't be swayed by the winds and the doctrines that may come your way. Because you see, a wind and a doctrine came through and said that Jesus is already here. He's already come. You don't have to work no more. And the people stopped working. When you read Thessalonians, it'll tell you the people got lazy. They stopped even providing for themselves. And that's why he said, you know what? If you don't work, in the third chapter, you don't eat. Ain't nobody gonna be taking care of you. Get yourself up, go get you a job so you can eat. Jesus is not coming today. All the signs have to happen before Jesus can come. The Antichrist has to come. Paul is straightening this mess out. There must have been some serious talking going on, some serious mixed up doctrine going on. And he was straightening it out. He said, you know what? Jesus ain't here yet. He ain't here yet. He ain't coming yet. No man knows the day or the hour when he's coming. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And if he wasn't a robber, robbers don't tell you when they're coming. You just got to have everything locked up and ready when they do. You got to have everything that God has for you sealed in your heart that the thief may not come in and steal it. Amen. There's a lot of things that's been blowing in the wind these past couple of months. Storms, rumors of wars, and all these things rising up, and people getting nervous about whether or not the time is coming to an end and when it's going to come to an end. It's not going to come until God in heaven says it's going to come. He says the Father in heaven is the one who knows. So we have to be about our Father's business. Amen. And Paul and Silas in Acts, the 17th chapter, just shows you the persecution and the stress and how people will begin to come against you and how the devil himself works against you to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. But you've got to be strong, people of God. You got to live each day as if it's your last. Hallelujah. Paul acknowledged their hardship, how they had grown in their faith and their love for one another. He says, you know, y'all have been holding on strong. And I just want to encourage you to stand firm in your faith. I got to get to Thessalonians, the second chapter, 13:17. Stand fast in your faith. God has chosen you. He done sanctified you. He done established you for every good work. According to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. And 3:13 says, don't go weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in it. Don't get lackadaisical. Can't allow the obstacles and circumstances and situations to get in the way of the living a faithful life in Jesus Christ. Amen. While we're waiting for his return. We're waiting for his return. We got to have the redeemed of the Lord. They've got to say so. Got to stand up and say so. Amen. Hold on to what you've been taught. That's what the word of God tells us. It says to hold on to what you've been taught. You've been taught a lot in this church. This church has been through so much teaching. But you know what? The devil can still come and steal what is in your heart. Try not reading your Bible for a year and see what happens. Try not coming to church and see what happens. He's going to have a field day on your life. You're going to get lackadaisical. You're not going to go pray no more. You're going to stop praying. Trust me, I know. Done it a couple times. I'm like, Lord, what happened? Where are you, God? I'm be searching for God, getting on my knees and just searching for God. God, I'm waiting to hear from you. I can't hear your voice. I don't understand what I just read. What are you saying? You grow dim. Your light goes dim. You know, but thanks be to God for his grace and his mercy. A flicker of his word becomes a flame. The Holy Spirit will set you on fire again if you have a desire to be set on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to let your fire go out. Just go to God and say, God, help me. Forgive me. That's what he told the people, repent. That's what he was doing, telling people to repent. All the ones that were coming to him, he said, repent and be saved. And they were being saved. They got saved, amen? When you do what God says to do, guess what? People get saved. They went from place to place. They didn't let the enemy stop them. They went from place to place, and each place people got saved. See, because Paul was there to deliver a message not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, those who were Greek, the Hellenistic Greeks. He was there to deliver that word. And those people didn't grow up in the faith. See, there's people that haven't grown up in the faith. I grew up in the faith, but there's a whole bunch of souls that are being lost that have not grown up in the faith that need to hear from God. And they need to hear from God from you because it said, how can they hear unless they send a preacher? Can you preach for the Lord today? Can you deliver a word of faith to somebody today? Hallelujah. Praise his name. God, hallelujah, is calling us to a higher call. Amen. He's calling us to a higher call. We done had a lot of teaching. We've been walking in the faith. We've been loving on one another and loving on others. But we got to keep on keeping on. You can't grow cold. Can't grow lackadaisical. I don't know how to get this down. I can't see. But you just have to keep on keeping on in the Lord. Amen. He said to read and obey the word of God. He said, keep on, stand fast in the faith to the gospel that for which you were called. Amen. Hallelujah. And by doing that, you'll obtain the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be upon you. You will be radiant. You will be the salt and the light in the earth that God has called you to be in the first place. Amen. But that's the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord comes upon us so that we can be a light and draw others to Christ. Hallelujah. Hold fast to the traditions which you were taught, whether it's by word or epistle. In other words, whether it's preached to you and whether it's taught to you. Keep the word. Hold fast to the word. Hold on to the word of God. He says here that, you know what? God wants to establish you in every good work. That good means the genuine work of your heart. He wants to establish you in every good work, meaning everything that God puts, whatever you put your hands to, he wants to bless it. Amen? He wants to bless it because you know what? When you're blessed, people around you are blessed, and the kingdom of God can grow. Amen? The kingdom of God can grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled when faced with trials. Remember what God says in his word. In 1 Peter 3:12, it says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. And when we suffer, according to the 13th verse, it said, when we suffer, who will do you harm if you're eager to do good? They can only do so much to you. You know that? People will seem foolish when they're trying to break you down and you're still trying to do good. But when you suffer for doing right, God will reward you for it. And that's what we're working for. We're working for that crown, amen. We are already guaranteed the eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. But God is going to give you a crown of righteousness, amen. He's going to bless you. It says that you'll have the kingdom of God. You'll experience the kingdom of God. We were talking about this at dinner last night. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God, what is in the kingdom of God? We learn about what's in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God in Revelation, there's peace and no more tears, no more suffering, no more fear, no more shame, no more, oh God, disappointment, because you know the God in whom you hope in. You know you can trust God to perform his word. Hallelujah. But you got to be patient. It's the patience that works endurance. It's the faith that works endurance. Hallelujah. And patience, they all work together. That's why it says your faith has been great. You have great faith. Great faith. They had great faith. Even through the suffering, they had great faith because they did not lose hope. They did not wane in their faith. They just kept on preaching and teaching one another, kept on loving on one another. Even when people would do wrong, keep on loving one another. Amen. Don't give up because somebody stepped on your toe at church. Stop coming to church. Don't give up because somebody want to visit you when you're sick. I ain't going to that church no more. Them people want to visit my house. No. Come on in the house. Come on. You don't come to church, you know, we'll go visit you. Amen. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Some people don't know that. You know that? Hallelujah. So the Thessalonians were already growing in their faith. They were loving one another. They were enduring their trials and being patient in their tribulations. Hallelujah. They had become an example for all Macedonia and Achaia. They had become an example for them. He said, you know what? You're the model church. You're the model people for other people to pattern their lives after. How would you like to be a model for somebody? Somebody, a light that somebody else can follow. Amen. A pattern that somebody else can emulate. That's a blessing. That somebody wants to grow up and be like you. Hallelujah. Follow me as I follow Christ. Because that's what we're doing. We're following Christ. We have the mind of God. We have the Spirit of God. And the Word of God tells us that what? The Spirit knows the mind of God. And so the Spirit's going to reveal to you what's on the Lord's mind, what's on God's mind, what's in his plan. Hallelujah. And how to go about his plan. That's why he fills you with gifts and talents and discernment and all of these spiritual things. We want to walk in the anointing of God. Hallelujah. That's how we do it, through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. So we've got to hold on to the faith that God has given us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, faith is having a strong assurance of things hoped for. It's you know, a conviction that, you know, the proof is going to, what is not seen is going to be seen. It's going to be seen. Amen. You'll see it in the spirit. God can show you that in the spirit. Amen. Holding on to your faith is demonstrated by several things, and I'm going to give you those things. I'm not going to be before you long. Holding on to your faith is demonstrated by living expectantly for Christ's return. And basically, that is what the message is in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Christ is coming back soon, and we've got to be ready when he comes. Amen. That word expecting, when you're expecting somebody, when you're expecting a visitor, what do? You get dressed, amen? You get your, you clean up your house, you get everything ready for that person, amen? And you might even get up and go to the door and go through the door and look through the peephole and wait for them to come. Amen. You're not going to be sitting there not doing anything as you're waiting. You're going to be anxious and you're going to be wanting. You're going to be desiring them to get there. These two sisters, two lovely ladies, they said, I'm coming to your house tomorrow, the house of the Lord. You think I wasn't looking for them to come through those doors? I was looking for them to come to the door. I was expecting. And they came. And my soul was satisfied. But while they were not, I was not, you know, I wouldn't, if I hadn't known they were coming, I wouldn't be looking. I'd be going about my business, doing what I want to do. And that's what happens. We go about our business doing what we want to do, not expecting the Lord to come any moment to break forth through the cloud. God just may want to come and sit with you a while. While you having your coffee. He just may want to come and sit with you. Interrupt your TV show. Call you unto himself. I love the praise this morning. You all weren't here, but when we were in this intercessory prayer, we were praising God, singing praises to God. There have been so many times when I've been cleaning up my house, and the Lord puts me in a praise, which lets me know I've got to stop what I'm doing and just break forth in a praise. Woo! Glory to God. Giving him glory and praise. God, it's about you right now. It's nobody but me and you in this place. And I'm going to worship you. This house can go, but I'm going to take out some time and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give my word. God, I know you want to talk to me. I sense your presence. I sense your presence, God. What is it? You know, but I always know because he always gives me a praise. Always gives me a praise. The next thing I know, the Shekinah glory falls. Hallelujah. And there's nothing like being in good company. Nothing like being in the presence of God. Amen. So we've got to live expecting God is going to come. Amen. Not just breaking forth through the crowd, because the Bible gives us the signs of the times, and we know from the signs of the times that Jesus is coming soon. But what about just meeting you at your house over a cup of coffee, minister? When you pick up your word, God just say, I'm just going to drop by. And just drop by and visit you. Give you a love tap. open a window and let you see a vision of what I want you to do. Let you see a little glimpse of my plan for you. You know, speak to your heart and get you ready and prepared that you can go and speak to somebody else. Just wanna be with you for a little bit. You know, the word says that. It says that they make mention that, you know what? In the 13th verse, Thessalonians 2 and 13, he says that, you know what? God chose you for salvation. He chose you, handpicked you for salvation, and sanctified you by his spirit and belief in the truth. Everybody don't know the truth. Those people that were coming against Paul and Silas, they didn't know the truth. They thought that they was preaching about some king that was going to come and take over the Roman Empire. So they said, let us get us a mob. And we're going to go in there and we're going to disrupt this thing. We're going to stop them from preaching the name of Jesus. We're going to stop them from teaching the name of Jesus. But when you call with a holy call, you can't help but preach the name of Jesus. You can't help but teach the name of Jesus. You can't help but go to the word when somebody has a question or looking for an answer. You can't help but do that. Because God has revealed his truth to you. Hallelujah. And it says here that, you know what? Being faithful to the call of God through faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Standing firm on the foundation of the word of God. That's what we stand on. The foundation of the word of God. And through that, we can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about that in the 14th verse. Number three is evangelizing wherever you go. Rejection may come, but nothing will compare to the glory that will follow. Romans 8 and 18 says, and if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him. Consider this, that your present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen. It's nothing compared to that. You're going to know something about yourself by the time you go through your little trial. You're going to know your shortcomings, but yet you're going to know how great God is in you. Amen. You're going to learn what the shortcomings are, the weaknesses are, but you're also going to know your strengths. Amen. God's going to reveal it to you through the trial that you go through and to the test that you pass. He's going to reveal that to you. And the fourth thing is praying without ceasing. Paul had confidence in the Thessalonian church prayers. Can somebody rely on you to pray for them and get a prayer through? Can you get a prayer through? You know, that's what we need to ask ourselves. God, can when I pray, will you hear me? The word of God tells us that he does in 1 John 5:14-15. He says, when we pray, what he said, we can have confidence in this very thing, that when we pray, God hears us. And not only does he hear us, but he answers us. So we know that we can get a prayer through. You just have to have that confidence in that. Number five is loving God and one another, even in hard trials. You know, because the trying of our faith produces patience, and that patience produces endurance. It's hard sometimes. Life is not easy for anybody. Everybody thinks their trial is so hard. Well, there's somebody who has a trial that's harder than yours. And what you can go through, somebody else can't go through. So, you know, everybody has a trial, but you have to hold on to your faith through the trial. And number six is living a holy life. You know, he spent a lot of time teaching the First Thessalonians, and he told them, he said, look, he said, you know what? If you run into people that are not living by the word of God, get away from them. Mark them and get away from them. That's what he said in 2 Thessalonians. He said, if you have people that are around you and they're not living the word of God, you need to get away from them. They know the way. They know the teachings that we've taught them. If they're not doing it, get away from them. I'll take you there, 3:14. If anyone does not obey your word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them, that he may be ashamed. Don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You know, he's not saying get rid of him, but he's saying, you know what? You might have to go in your prayer closet for him. You know, help them out. Help them to understand the word of God. Because if you start hanging with them, guess what? Association brings about assimilation. You start picking up some of the bad habits. Or you start justifying justifying their habits rather than giving them the word of God. But in 1 Thessalonians, we see in the 5th chapter, he tells them, I urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them. very highly in love for you, for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. And he goes on to tell them how to live holy. How to live holy. You got to be holy. Holy without no man shall see the Lord. You know? And stop being so evil. Don't be evil. And do good. And I know none of y'all fall in those categories. I'm just letting you know what the Word of God says, just in case you forgot. We're not evil. We ain't bad. You know, we ain't out there doing stuff. But we got to be faithful. Faithful to what God called us to. Faithful to holiness. Amen. We got to hold on to our faith. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 22, when we read that, we know that we can take joy in knowing that Jesus is coming back. We can pray, we can spend time with the Holy Spirit. We can give thanks to God, amen, for his faithfulness, for the will of God working in our lives. Being grateful for every day that God has kept us alive, because every day God keeps you alive, that's another day you can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank God for this lesson, because, you know, I just look at this and think about our church. That's what made me read Thessalonians, because I said, you know, our church is a praying church. Our church is a teaching church, a church where people can come and grow and be loved on. But we can't give up. We can't rest on those laurels. God is coming back. We got to be ready. Hallelujah. And that's the word of faith today. Hold on to your faith. Trust God. Don't give up. And don't let trials and tribulations keep you down and keep you from serving the Lord. Amen. God bless you.